okay.
December 17th, 2019.
Should I make the email? I'll make the email.
Yeah, I apologize. I was traveling so much the last 2 weeks. I forgot all about it. That tonight is supposed to be a Shiran and Yoni Chanukah, so I prepared a Shiran Yevamos.
I don't know if you heard that, but it was my idea for the Chanukah Shir. That's why I put the ad out. And but it was right before I told Rabbi Shachem en route to the airport to JFK, and he had other things on his mind.
Well, you're in California too, right?
Yes,
and California. He's in Israel and in California, and he's
here. Baltimore,
And Baltimore too. So we're happy you're here.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yes. Whenever you have to,
didn't have a chance to open it, I have to bring it back.
Remind me again.
Thank you.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Take.
We were learning Perek Hoisha Rabbah, and we more or less completed the sugya of Dov Shel Bali Yolam Adav Sari Gimel. Rather than learn till the end of the Perek, which has important dinim, but it's not halacha lemaisa for us today. It's all halacha lemaisa, not for us. So I thought maybe we should move back to Dav Samach Aleph Amud Beis, a famous sugya at the end of Perek Abol Yevinta, which is relevant to us. Daf Samach Aleph Amud Beis is about the mitzvah of getting married and having children. Piri Arivia, that is Nagia to us. So the Mishnah says, Lo Yivatel Adam on Daf Samach Aleph Amud Beis, the end of Perek Haboya Vimtai. Lo Yivatel Adam in Piri Arivia, a person should not hold himself back from having children. Elan ken yesh labanim. If he has children already, then he can marry, let's say his first wife died and he wants to remarry. Does he have to marry a woman who's able to have children? Or can he marry a woman who's not a basbanim? So it says if he already fulfilled the mitzvah of Piririvya, he doesn't have to marry a basbanim. So how many children do you have to have in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Piririvya? So the Mishnah and the Gemara have four different, there's machlekes bishamei bisil. But there are two versions of the machlekes. It comes out there are two opinions, but there are two versions of the opinion. So there are four opinions. So the Mishnah has Beishami Yarmim Shnei Zecharim. In order to fulfill the mitzvah Piririvya, you have to have two boys. Irrelevant whether you have girls, you have to have two boys. Basila Lamrim, we would paskin like Basila. Zochar Nekeva, a son and a daughter, who are able themselves to have children. The whole idea of Piririvya. In Parshas Bereishis and Parshas Noach, Pirei Berivya is in order to populate the world. So you have to have a son and a daughter who themselves are able to have children. Let's say they're not psychologically fit to marry or to have children, or not physically able to have children. So you're not Yotze. You have to have children who will be able to have children, who will be able to have children, and so on and so forth. So it's Machlekes, Bisham and Bisilo, with the Davke Shnei Zecharim, or Zochar Nekevim. Had a Beis Hillel come upon the Achidush that Zohar Nekeva, Shenema, based on Bereshit, Zohar Nekeva, Bira Oman. The Rabban Shalom created the world, he created Adam V'chava. So that's the way, the whole idea of Piri Rivya, we should do like the Rabban Shalom. So the Gemara, there's a question here that Paskim discuss. According to Beis Hillel, we Paskim like Beis Hillel. When Beis Hillel says Zohar Nekeva, it means Davke Zohar Nekeva, it means even Zohar Nekeva. So there's such an opinion that they quote in Shulchan Aruch from the Yerushalmi, but we don't pass like that. Bishamai say, Shnei Zachar, Basil said, you're Yotze if you have Zachar Nekeva, but if you have two Zachar, you will say Yotze. The Pashtus in the Gemara is not so. Pashtus in the Gemara, Beishamai, Beisila disagree with Beishamai. That you're not Yotze, if you have five boys, you don't have a girl, you're not Yotze in the Mitzvah. You have to have Dafke, Zohar, and a Kedah. So now the Gemara has a diuk on the Mishnah. It says in the Mishnah, Lo yivotel Adam in Piri V'Rivi, if he already has children, if he already fulfilled the Mitzvah of Pur Revu, according to Beisila, according to Beishamai, ready to fulfill the Mitzvah, then he doesn't have to have more children. But Hayesh Labanim, if he already has children, he was Yotze Piru Rivya, he doesn't have to have more. Piru Rivya Batal, he can practice birth control, he can marry an Isha who's not a Bazbanim, however, Isha Le Batal, but he should get married. Let's say the first wife died and he has 10 children from the first wife. So does he have to remarry? Or do you say, no, the only purpose of remarrying is in order to have children, he already was Yotze Piru Rivya. So the Gemara is Medayik, the first version of the Gemara is Medayik from the Lashon HaMishnah, Me'isha loy batal, he has to remarry. Mesai le'er Rav Nachman HaMishmur, Rav Nachman says his name is Shmur de Omar, Afal pi she'esh lo'od mekam abadim, he already did fulfill Piri Rivya, Osa lamad b'la isha, Shenema otov hayos o'odim levadoi. The Rambam counts these are two distinct mitzvahs. The Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Ishus and the Sefer HaMitzvahs, he said there's one mitzvah, Lisa Isha Biksuba Bikidushin, there's one mitzvah to be married, and another mitzvah to have children. So even if he has already fulfilled the mitzvah of having the children, still a mitzvah to be married. So that's the first version in the Gemara. That, like the Rambam said, there are two distinct mitzvahs. The mitzvah to be married is even if he's not planning to have any more children. And then the Gemara says, another version has it, means by the time the Gemara was written down, the Gemara, Ravina Ravashi, were the ones who sort of edited the Talmud Bavli, but it was still being transmitted Baal Peh. It was transmitted orally till the middle of the days of the Ge'onim. Then there was a big machlokes whether they should write down the Talmud Bavli. So finally, it's fortunate for us that they did write it down. They would have not written down, everything would have been forgotten. So by the time the Gemara was written down, there were already different versions of what everybody said. The different versions, a lot of times, of what Rabbi and Rav Ashi said. So if they wrote down the Talmud Bavli, how could there be a different version of what they said? The answer is, they edited the Talmud Bavli, but it was still being recited. But it wasn't written down till deep into the days of the Goinim. Most assumed that Rabbi Yudah Nosi edited the Mishnayos, but the Mishnayos were still being recited Baal Peh. It wasn't written down till the days of Rabbi and Rav Ashi. That's how most Achronim assume, and most history books assume like that.
What does that mean?
Sofar Ro means that's the end of the period of developing the Talmud Bavli. Yeah. From that time on, we just negotiate with ideas that are in the Gemara. We don't come up with new ideas. The days of the Tanoim, they came up with new ideas all the time. And after the days of the Amoraim, that's the still Torah Shabbat Peh, still Torah Shabbat Peh. Yeah. The Rambam writes the Seder HaMasorah, the Mishnah has Moshe Kibbel Torah, Masorah, Masorah, Yeshua, etc. And then the Rambam continues from the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, he goes further till the days of Rabbeinu Rav Ashi. He has 40 generations. He lists 1, 2, 3 till number 40 is Rabbeinu Rav Ashi. Why didn't he, in the Miri, in the beginning of Pirkei Avos, goes till his own generation? Because Rabbi Rav Ashi and Rabban Sabaroi and the Goinim, till he tells you he has the tradition from his Rabbeim and so on. The Rambam could have done the same also. Why did the Rambam stop at Rabbi Rav Ashi? So Rav Moshe Soloveitchik explained that until the days of Rabbi Rav Ashi, they were still transmitting the Torah Shabbal Peh, Baal Peh. Even though Rabbi Yudah Nosi edited the Mishnayos, but it's still being recited Baal Peh. So that was the concept of Torah Shabbal Peh B'Shleimuso, it's being transmitted Baal Peh. After the days of Rabbeinu Rav Ashi, that's when they wrote down, we assume, the Mishnayos. Rashi writes in different places that Rabbi Yudah Nosi wrote down the Mishnayos. But most Achreinim and most history books assume not so. Rabbi Yudah Nosi edited the Mishnayos, it was still being recited Baal Peh. It wasn't written down till the days of Rabbeinu Rav Ashi. So the Rambam gives you the Masorah al Pidin till the end of the Tkufa of Rabbeinu Rav Ashi. That was the end of the full fulfillment of the Inyan of Torah Shabbat Peh being transmitted Baal Peh. After the days of Rabbeinu Rav Ashi, it's no longer called Chachmei HaMasorah. It still is Masorah Baal Peh, but the full sense of the concept of Chachmei HaMasorah was lost. So that's why we assume the Achrayim have a right to disagree with the Rishonim, have a right to disagree with the Goyim. It says in Chosh Mishpat like that. There's a Siman in Chosh Mishpat where they discuss Tor B'Shikal Adas, Tor B'Dvar Mishnah, the famous sugi in Sahed, and what's the din if the Bez made a mistake? So when can they reverse the Psak, and when do they not have the right to reverse the Psak? And sometimes they admit that they made a mistake, sometimes they have to pay to make good from their own pocket, sometimes they don't pay. Very complicated. That's the most complicated famous sugi in Sahed. So in that simon of Tor B'Shikala Adas and Tor B'Dvar Mishnah, the Ramah quotes from earlier poskim, that if someone in his generation, someone in the 1500s, is convinced that the Gaonim made a mistake and he doesn't want to follow the Psak of the Gaonim, so he recommends he better consult with contemporaries to make sure you're not making a mistake. But then if you consult it and everybody agrees the Gaonim are wrong and you have Raya's Brurus, it would appear from the Gemara that Din is not like them. So he said, you have a right to disagree with the Gaonim. So the question is, do you have a right to disagree with the Gemara? So he says, no, that's what the Gemara says, Rabbeinu Rav Ashi, Sofei Ruah. That's the Gemara Bav Metzian Daf Peivov. So the Bi'ur HaGemara writes, that's what it means. Until the days of Rabbeinu Rav Ashi, they had the full status of Chachmei HaMasorah. So let's say, Rabbeinu Rav Ashi have a right to disagree with Yeshua Ben Nun. They can disagree with anyone. From the days of Yeshua Ben Nun until Rabbeinu Rav Ashi Al Pidin, everybody has the same halachic status as Chachmei HaMasorah. Maybe it does make too much sense. Someone, Rabbeinu Rav Ashi, should disagree with Yeshua Ben Nun. Yeshua Ben Nun probably heard things directly from Moshe Rabbeinu. So you're going to know better than them. So maybe it doesn't make sense, but Al Pidin, they all have the same status as Chachmei HaMasorah. And after the days of Rabbeinu Rav Ashi, even though they were Goinim and Rishonim and Achrayim, so someone in a later generation has the right to disagree with someone in an earlier generation. Maybe it's not a smart thing to do. Maybe the people in the earlier generation had traditions which you're not aware of. But Al Pidin, they have the same lowest status of Chachmei HaMasorah. So those who live after the days of Rabbeinu Rav Ashi, because they have a lower status of Chachmei HaMasorah, don't have the right to disagree halacha lemaisa with those who had a stronger status of Chachmei HaMasorah. The Balei HaMasorah are entitled to formulate their opinions on halachic. Yeah, the Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchas Mamrim that the Beis Din in every generation is entitled to express their opinion, even in disagreement with those who preceded them. So the Kesa Mishnah asks that kasha on the Rambam, beginning of Hilchas Mamrim. Why does the Gemara say an Amor has a Chiddush? And the Gemara says it is a Mishnah against it, there's a Braisa against it. The Gemara says Tiyufta. Why do they make it Tiyufta? If the Rambam holds the Amoraim have a right to disagree with the Tanoim. So the Kesa Mishnah says, Anachinami, the Amoraim have a right to disagree. From the days of Yeshua ben Nun until the days of Rabbeinu Rav Ashi, everybody has Al Pidin, the same level, the same status as Chachmei HaMasorah, have a right to disagree. But they usually, the Amoraim usually accepted upon themselves that they're not going to disagree. All the Tanoim say one way, they're not going to take on all the Tanoim. If they saw there was a machlokes in the days of the Tanoim, even though the consensus was in one direction, they would feel free to paskin like the other Shita. But if you look into the days of the Tanoim, everybody said one direction, they would not want to disagree. But when they were convinced that all the Tanoim were wrong, they would take on all the Tanoim. They would disagree with all the Tanoim. There's such a Mohammed in the end of Bava Kama. That's famous. Rabbi Chana Wasserman asked the Kasha to Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik that the Gemara has, in the beginning of Ksubis, the Gemara has, Rav was a student of Rabbi Ran Nasi. So Rav was the first generation of Amoraim. So the Gemara says that Rav felt free to disagree with Tanoim, even if he's disagreeing with all the Tanoim. He wasn't afraid. Rav Tanahu Pali had the right to disagree. So Tosis points out in the beginning of Ksubis in the Sugi of Sheva Brochus that Rabbi Yochanan doesn't agree with that. Rabbi Yochanan holds that Rabbi Yochanan was a contemporary of Rav and Shmuel. We all learned in Eretz Yisrael by Rabbi Yudal Nasi. Rabbi Yochanan holds that that's not right. That Rav did not have the right to disagree with all the Tanoim. So Rabbi Chana was bothered with Akasha. Whenever this machlik is between Rav and Rabbi Yechanan, we say halachic Rabbi Yechanan. So if Rabbi Yechanan holds that Rav did not have the right to disagree, Rav Tanu Hupalik, so we should follow Rabbi Yechanan then. And every time the Gemara says Rav Tanu Hupalik, we follow Rav. So why is that? If Rav and Rabbi Yechanan, halachic Rabbi Yechanan. So Rabbi Chanan said, he wrote this over. He asked Rabbi Chaim this kasha. So Rabbi Chaim said, "Well, Zayna Rav is an Amora. Amora Alpidin has a right to disagree with the Tana also." The Moja says, "Rab Tana Hu Palik." He felt free. He felt free to disagree, and the other Amoraim didn't feel free to disagree. For the Tanaim say in one direction, the Amoraim, the Kes Mishnah's Loshen, the Amoraim would be Mekabel on themselves. I mean, their attitude would be they wouldn't want to disagree. Unless they were really fully convinced that all the Tanaim were wrong, then they would disagree. That's the Ramban like that. There's no such din that an Amora can't disagree with the Tana. When the Gemara has a Tiyufta against the Amoraim, because it's a Mishnah, Beferish a Braisa, it's a Tiyufta because the Amoraim themselves wouldn't want to disagree. But Alpidin, it's not really a Kasha. Anyway, so over here you have two versions, Ika Diyamri. The Gemara has two versions of what Shmuel said. At least Shmuel was way before. But a lot of times in the Gemara you have two versions of what Rabbeinu Rav Ashi said. How can that be if Rabbeinu Rav Ashi are writing the Talmud Bavli? The answer is they didn't write the Talmud Bavli. In the days of Rabbeinu Rav Ashi, that's when they wrote down the Mishnayos. And according to the Rambam, that's what Moshe Soloveitchik said, according to the Rambam, that was Alpidin, the end of the full Tkufa of the Masorah of the Torah Shebaal Peh, because it was still being transmitted Baal Peh till the days of Rabbeinu Rav Ashi. And then in the deep into the days of the Goyim, that's when they wrote down the Talmud Bavli. So the first version of the Gemara was that the Mishnah says once one has fulfilled the mitzvah of Pirur Rivya, he doesn't have to marry, let's say the first wife passed away, he doesn't have to marry Nisha Bas Banim, but he has to get married. It's not right that he should stay alone. Like the Rambam wrote, there are two different mitzvahs, one mitzvah to be married, another mitzvah to have children. And then Ika D'Amri, another version of what Shmuel was quoted as having said, that if Yesh Labonim, he's allowed to be both me Pirav Rivya, both Nami Meisha, that he doesn't have to remarry. It's not necessary for him to remarry. So the Gemara says, wow, if so, should I say, according to the second version, that the Mashmoz of the Mishnah is not only he doesn't have to marry Nisha Bas Banim, he doesn't have to get married at all. So the Gemara says, Lema, should I say, Tevi Tiyufta, the Rav Nachman HaMashmoel, he says that a person should always be married to two mitzvahs. So the Gemara says, no. The second version doesn't disagree with the first version. The Gemara says, "Ein lad banim." If he hasn't yet fulfilled the mitzvah pirerivir, he has a mitzvah to remarry. Now, let's say the first wife passed away. He has a mitzvah to remarry. No, isha bas banim. He has to marry a woman who's able to give birth to children. If yesh lad banim, he already has two from the first wife. He has to get married, but he doesn't have to marry an isha bas banim. He can marry a woman who's not able to have children. No, isha the lab bas banim. But the Gemara comes out, the second Loshen, the Ika D'Amri, doesn't really disagree with the first Loshen. They both say the same thing. They're two mitzvahs. The Rambam and the Minyan, a mitzvah counts them as two. That is what Pilpul about. But Halacha L'maaseh, leaving out, we don't exactly understand what the relevance of the Minyan a mitzvah is. But the Gemara said the 613 mitzvahs, the Gemara never tells us which the mitzvahs are. So there's such a big literature on that. We don't fully understand L'may Nafkemina. A lot of times, everyone agrees to the dinim. They just argue whether it should count as a separate mitzvah. Here also, even if you disagree with the Rambam, who counts these as two distinct mitzvahs, one mitzvah to marry, and another mitzvah to have pirur ribi, to have children, but the bottom line, they both agree that even if it's not the minyanim, they both agree that two inyanim is an inyan to be married and an inyan to have children. So then the Gemara, the way we have the Girsa in the Gemara, Nafkemina Limka Sefer Torah Bishvil Bonim. The Gemara has a din, also Lodim Limka Sefer Torah. If I have a Sefer Torah, you're not allowed to sell it to someone else, unless Lilma Torah Velisa Isha. You're only allowed to sell, let's say a shul has 30 Sefer Torah. What do they need 30 Sefer Torah for? What are they going to do with it? So they should donate their communities in Eretz Yisrael with no Sefer Torah. Let them donate. Are they allowed to sell the Sefer Torah to make money on it? So the Gemara says, Midrabbanan, there's a din by Hegdish. If you sell, if the Gizbush al Hegdish sells Hegdish, so the Kedusha, Hegdish is Tefes Doma, means the Kedusha from the Hegdish is Chal on the money that they get, and the Gizbush has to use the money for the purpose of Hegdish. So in the Torah, there's no such din. That if you sell a Sefer Torah, it's Tefes is Domov, and the money is Nitfas Pigdusha, and you have to use the money for Malam Bakarish Shalom Aridin, you have to use the money for another Sefer Torah or something like that. But with the Rabbanan, they made such a din. that just like Hegdish is Teifas is Domo, where else do you have Teifas Domo? You have Perishvis. The one letter is out from Pasuk. Perishvis. The Peris that grow in Eretz Yisrael Shnas HaShmita. So if you sell them, so the money that you get is Teifas is Domo. By other things, it's not Teifas Domo. Let's say a person has Basa B'cholov and he sells it. So you're not allowed to sell Basa B'cholov. You sell Basa B'cholov, you're getting paid money, so you're getting Hanor from the Basa B'cholov. You're taking money for it. You're not allowed to do that. But what if you went ahead and you did it? So you did wrong, but the money does become Basa B'Hanor. The Basa B'cholov is not Teifas Domo. But Midrabbanan made a din that Sefer Teres Teifas is Domo. If you sell a shul, so the shul is Teifas Domo, but you have to use the money for some higher degree of a mitzvah. In fact, the poskim say, let's say, the Gemara says in the beginning of the last parak in Avodah Zarah, the perishvias are teifas demeyim. That's only if it's a zet tachazet. I give you the perishvias, and before you ate it up, you give me the kish. So then it's a zet tachazet. So that's a din. You learn that from the pasuk. That's a din deraisa. The money is nitvas bekdushas perishvias. You have to use the money to buy other food and eat the food before this manabir. Every fruit and vegetable that grows in Eretz Yisrael during Shnas HaShmita has kedushas perishvias, and there's a din you have to eat it before this manabir. So if you sold it and you got money, you have to buy food for that money and eat up that food before this manabir, that fruit or vegetable. So the Gemara says, let's say I sell you perishvias and you ate it up before I sell you on credit. I have a grocery store, a vegetable store, whatever, and I sold you perishvias on credit and you ate up the perishvias before you pay for it. So then the Gemara says that it's not Teifas as Domov. Not Teifas as Domov. That's the Netziv writes. That was his practice. He was always makbid to buy an esrog from Eretz Yisrael. He was a big Zionist. But what do you do if it's the Sukkot following Shnas HaShmita? So the esrog grew in Eretz Yisrael and Shnas HaShmita. So that's Kedusha's perishvias. So if he's going to pay for it by cash, so then the cash will be nitfas by Kedusha's perishvias. And the merchant who is selling the esrog is not going to buy food. He's going to put the money in the bank. He's going to invest it. So what's going to, you're not allowed to give cash that has Kedusha's perishvias to the person if you know he's not going to observe the dinim properly. So the Netziv writes that when he bought the esrog for the sukkahs of Mitzvah Shvias, he would ask the merchant to sell it to him on credit. And then after Sukkot was over, he would cook the esrog and eat it up. And after he ate it up, then he would pay the cash. Because it's, the Gemara says on the beginning of the last parak in Avodah Zarah, that it's only Hegdish, the Kedusha's Perish Reis, is only Teifas Domov, if it's a Zet HaChazet, if the Peris are still Bien. Once he ate up the Peris, they're not here anymore. So you can't say that it's a Zet HaChazet, then it's not Teifas Domov. Same thing over here. Let's say I'm selling us, the shul is selling a Sefer Torah. They need money, so they want to sell a Sefer Torah. You sell a Sefer Torah, so with the Rabbanon, there's a din that it's Teifas Domo. Or you're selling a shul. So the shul is also, with the Rabbanon, the shul is Teifas Domo. So you have to use the money for Malam HaKadosh Olam Arin, for something higher level than Sefer Torah, higher level than the shul. So the Achrayim, the Poskim from the later generation say, if you want to avoid that din, make sure that it shouldn't be a zet tachazet. So they say, give away the Sefer Torah b'matona, and let them give you a matona later on. If you sell it, then it's called zet tachazet. But if you give the Sefer Torah b'matona, and then later on they give you a matona, that's a little risky. They may never give you the money. So they quote from the Chazon Ish, if you sell perishvias, and the other fellow pays by check, then there is no zet tachazet. If the other fellow pays by cash, so the cash is zet tachazet, so it's teifas domov. What does it mean a check? A check means I have the right to draw against the yeshiva's bank account. And the yeshiva has a right to draw against the bank account of all the other people who donate money to the yeshiva. And they have the right, and they, the balabatim, who give the money to the yeshiva for tuition, donations, whatever, they have the right to draw against the customers who bought. The whole thing is all in the Luften. It's all you have a right. It's a check. It means you have the right to draw against my account, and I have a right to draw against his account. So there is no zet tachazet. So that's what they quote from the Chazon Ish, that whenever you pay by check, it's not going to be teifas as domov. So strictly speaking, if the shul sells a Sefer Torah, And they don't pay by cash, they pay by check. So the whole din of Teif is Damav doesn't apply.
What? By check too.
Yeah, he probably didn't have a checking account. If the Nitziv would have had a checking account, he wouldn't have to eat the Esrik first, correct? Yes.
Sell Shvius, can't they use for Kedushin?
If what?
Selling Shvius, can't they use the money for Kedushin?
For Kedushin? I don't think so. Not supposed to. No, it's Teif is Damav. He's supposed to use the money to buy food and eat the food before... if I sell Basa B'chalov and I get paid money, so that's not right. When you sell it, you're getting Hanor from the Basa B'chalov. Once I got the money, so then if I'll be Mekadosh and Nishin, shall be Mekudeshes, because the money is Mutaba Hanor. Because the Basa B'chalov or the Orlo, the Klei HaKerem, is not Teif is Damav. Only Hegdish is Teif is his Damav, and Perishvius is Teif is the main.
Instead of yourself,
but Azar Stefes is done that also. But Azar Stefes is done.
You have to use the money for a higher level. What's a higher level condition than a Sefer Torah?
To correct Sefer Torah. To use the money to correct Sefer Torah. Okay. Same level, yeah. But if they pay by check, according to that Chazanish, if they pay by check, then the Poskim say the whole din of Tvisas Damim doesn't apply. Yeah. So we have a din.
Why didn't the Gemara bring down Bokas Vazra for Tana Chesed?
The Gemara is going to quote it on the next stuff. Yeah, it's coming up, yeah. So the Gemara gave a difference. The Gemara said if a person already fulfilled Piru Rivya, he has to get, and his first wife died, he has to remarry, but he's permitted to marry an Ishu who's not a Basbat. But if his first wife died, he never had children, he only had daughters and never had sons. Then he's obligated to try again. He's obligated to marry a bunim, a woman who is a bas bunim, to possibly fulfill the mitzvah piruvi. So the Gemara gave an afkamina ledina. So the next line in the Gemara, the next half line doesn't read straight. The way we have the girsa, nafkamina, what's the difference whether you did fulfill piruvi or not? The Gemara just said what the nafkamina is. You have to remarry. Do you have to marry a bas bunim? Or do you not have to? Do you just have to marry a woman? But she doesn't have to be able to have children. So what does it say? Nafkamina limka sevatar b'shvil banim. So the rabbin, to the bottom Tosis says, "Uloi gasinun." Tosis writes on the third line in the last Tosis, "Uloi gasinun l'may nafkamina." The tuba nafkamina. We just said can come about you. He has to remarry, but does he have to marry an ishu who's able to have children or not necessarily? So Tosis suggests maybe the girsa is incorrect. Nafkamina limka. Sefer Torah b'shvil banim. And then Tosis gives the Yoda Marie, he gives a suggestion. This din that the Gemara is saying over here, you're not allowed to sell a Sefer Torah and use the money for yourself, midrabbanan. We treat it as if the Sefer Torah is Teifas Damav. And the money that you get, if they pay by check, the whole thing shouldn't apply. But if they pay cash, they're going to pay whatever, $20,000 for a kosher Sefer Torah, more, whatever they pay. So you're not allowed to use the money for your own purposes, mid the Rabbanon, Steif is Damav. So they made two exceptions to the rule. Lilma Torah Belisa Isha, let's say a shul is closing down, and they have 30 Sefer Torah. So what do? So they can sell all the Sefer Torah, give all the money to support a yeshiva. Lilma Torah is mutum. Either Lilma Torah, I want to learn Torah, and I need the money for myself, or give the money to a yeshiva, or different yeshivas to support them. Lisa Isha is also mutum. Lisa Isha is a mitzvah rabbah. There's a hierarchy of mitzvahs. Some mitzvahs we know are much more important than others. And here the pasuk says, "Lo to bara, lo shabbos yitzor." The Gemara quotes the pasuk here in this sugya. The purpose of the creation of the world was that the world should be populated. "Lo to bara, lo shabbos yitzor." So the mitzvah piruvi is considered a mitzvah rabba. So they allowed you to violate that din derabban. Normally, when you sell the Sefer Torah, it's Teifas Damav midrabbanan, you have to use the money for correcting Sefer Torah. But if you need the money to marry someone off, you have your Yisayimim, and they need money to be able to support themselves. Or you yourself need money in order to get married, to buy an apartment, and so on. So at least the issue, we allow it. So this is a big machlekes and Rishonim regarding the din, what you just mentioned before, the Gemara on Daf Samach Beis on the base, quotes the pasuk in Koheles, right smack in the middle of Samach Beis Amud Beis, where it says on the side, Koheles, chapter Yud Aleph. So the pasuk says, "Babekas Ra'aserech v'le'er v'atanach yadecha." The farmer should plant in the morning, and then he should continue to plant in the afternoon, the evening also. Why? Well, he planted enough in the morning. The pasuk says, you can never tell, you don't know which is going to grow better, which will grow better. Maybe what you planted in the morning, maybe something will go wrong, and it won't grow. And if they both grow, it's avada good. But maybe what you planted in the morning may not grow, so you better plant again in the evening. So the Gemara says, in addition to the Pshuto Shal Mikra, that it's giving instructions to the farmers, that they should work hard in the morning to plant, and then work hard in the evening as well, to plant the second time, so Rabbi Kiva says more. The Gemara says, Rabbi Kiva Omer, in addition to the Pshuto Shal Mikra, Lama Torah B'Aldusa, if a person learned a lot of Torah when he was young, he should continue Yilma Torah B'Ziknusa. He should continue to learn later again, because maybe what he'll learn later in life will even be better than what he learned when he was younger. Let's say he was Marbitz Torah B'Rabma for many years when he was young. He shouldn't retire at a young age. Yilma Tamidim B'Ziknusa, he should start a second career later. The Rif lived in Fez, Rabbi Yitzhak Alfazi lived in Fez in Morocco, and then he had to run away because they had some kind of they accused him of violating some government law. They wanted to put him in prison, so he ran away to Spain at the age of 75, and he started a new career. He started teaching Torah in Spain till the age of 90, and all the famous students are from Spain, not from Morocco. We don't know any of the students from Morocco. All the famous, the Rimigash and all the others, Rabbi Yehuda Levi, everybody was from the second career, not after the age of 75. So that's what Rabbi Kiva says. Hoylo Tamidim Bialduso, if he taught a lot of Torah when he was young, he shouldn't retire. If he's still able to function, Yehuda Tamidim Biziknus Shanema Bekes Razarech. So the Gemara tells the famous story. Shtemos Elab Zugim Tamidim Hoylo the Rabbi Akiva. He had 12,000 Chavrusas, in other words, 24,000 Tamidim, 12,000 pairs of Tamidim, learned by him, Mikvasvar Antiporos, not in one base medrash, didn't have 24,000 Tamidim in one place, and they all died, Kulam Esu, at the same time, and then, Hoyu Hoylam Shamim, there was hardly anybody learning Torah, Achibor Rabbi Kiva Eitzel, Rabbi Sena Shibadora, we went to a certain location, Ushno Lehem, he started teaching Torah all over again, in his old age. And who were they? Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Loza ben Shamua. These are all the famous Tanaim. The Haim, Hamidah Torah, Oysa Shor, they were the ones who restored the whole Torah. So you see how important it is to do Barakas Razarecha. So that's what the Gemara says, a comment on the Mishnah. And the Mishnah says, where's the Gemara? Here they go. A few lines before what we started to read. A few lines before, so the Gemara has a comment where it says Tehillim. It says Tehillim. So it says on the side, Masnisim Deloike Rebbe Yeshua. The Mishnah says if you have a son and a daughter, you have fulfilled the mitzvah per Revia, and you're free to marry an Isha who's not a Bazbanim. So the Gemara says the Mishnah is contradicted by Rebbe Yeshua and the Braisa. Rebbe Yeshua says, Nasa Adam Isha Bialduso, even though he had children when he was younger, and the first wife died, let's say she's not able to have children, Isha Isha Biziknuso, he should remarry and have children when he's later. Hoyla Banim Bialduso, Hoyla Banim Biziknuso, he should try to have more children when he's older. He shouldn't be satisfied with just having a son and a daughter. That's called the Mitzvah Medibri Kabbalah. It's not a Chumash. Based on the Chumash, we assume the Din Derais only is Ubeinu Bas, we pass like Bishilul in the Mishnah. The two versions of the Machlekes B'Shamim, so we pass like Bishilul in the Mishnah, son and a daughter. But there's either a mitzvah midirabbanon, some Rishonim say, Balamor writes, that this is a mitzvah midirabbanon, or it's a midas chasidus, one or the other, that what, even though he's already fulfilled period, he should try to have more children later on. It's considered a midas chasidus. It says in Shulchan Aruch, if the fellow, the man, has children who are young, and is afraid that by marrying Anisha Bazbanim and having more children, it's going to cause friction with the older children, so then you don't look for trouble. Because it's not really an absolute chiyuv, it's not even a chiyuv of the Rabbanan, it's considered a midas chasidus. So whenever you're talking about observance of a recommended midas chasidus, whenever it's going to bring about problems, issues, so you don't, then it's not considered a Midas Chasidus. So the Gemara says there's such an inyan, according to the Tana Rebbe Shua, there's an inyan of having more than the first two children. So the Shaila is this din, midirabbanan, that if you sell a Sefer Torah, it's Tefer's Dhamma of the money that you get, unless they pay by check. But if they pay by cash, the money, in the case of the Gemara, they had no checking accounts. So it was always going to be Tefer's Dhamma. What are you going to do? Eat up the Sefer Torah. But you're going to wait till the Sefer Torah gets destroyed, then you pay. Then it won't be Tefer's Dhamma, but you hope it's not going to get destroyed. So the money is going to be Nitfas Bigdusha Sefer Torah midirabbanan. So then you have to use it for correcting Sefer Torah. And the two exceptions are Luma Torah Lisa Isha. So the Shad Lisa Isha, is that only Lisa Isha for the Din De'araisa of Pira Verivya? What about Lisa Isha because of Abakas Ra'as Erechav about Tanach Yadecha? Also, you're allowed to sell a Sefer Torah and use the money for a Zivik Sheni to have more children? So that's a big discussion. So that's what Tosis thinks that not, and the Balamor disagreed. That's a much like this bottom Tosis on Samachalav on the base. So Tosis says they don't understand what it says, Nafkamina Limka Sefer Torah B'Shvil Bonim. The Gemara already gave you the Nafkamina. If he already had children, he already had a son and a daughter from the first wife, then he has to remarry, but he doesn't have to marry Abbas Bonim. He's not obligated to have more children. And if he has no children from the first wife, not only does he have to remarry, he has to remarry an Isha who's Abbas Bonim, and able, if it's possible, to have children later on. So what does the Gemara say, Nafkamina Limka Sefer Torah? We just told you what the Nafkamina is. So Tosis thinks there's something wrong with that. You shouldn't say Nafkamina. Then the Farempha says, no, maybe that's within what we just said. If he didn't fulfill the mitzvah piruvia there yet, and he's going to marry a Bas Bonim who will be able to have children, then he has the heter, he's allowed to sell the Sefer Torah and use the money, Lisa Isha, to fulfill the mitzvah deraisa piruvia. But if he already has children to a first marriage, and there's a midas chasidus to marry a woman who can have more children, so for that person holds, you're not allowed to sell the Sefer Torah. You sell the Sefer Torah, use the money for yourself to be able to marry the Isha Bas Bonim, that you're not allowed to do. That's what Tosis says. If you have to marry an Isha Bas Bonim because you didn't fulfill Piruvia yet, then you have the heter to sell the Sefer Torah. And the Balamor and others disagree. They say, no. But Rabbi Shua learned that from that pasuk in Koheles, La'erev al-Tanach Yadecha, that there's a Amidas Chasidus to have more than the basic requirement of a son and a daughter. So included in that is even mutalim ka Sefer Torah, and use the money for yourself or to support someone who wants to marry an Isha Bas Bonim. So that's a big machlekes HaRishonim.
How about if there's going to be friction, but there's going to be significant financial pressure? With having more children after some...
Also, it's going to be too difficult, so you don't look for trouble. Yeah. That says in Shulchan Aruch. Whenever there's a midas chasidus, so if it's going to cause issues, so you're not mechuyev.
And that's only possible. We possibly have a midas
chasidus. Yeah. The Beis Shmuel quotes it's not, this Mochamas on this daf. It's not a chiyuv derais and not a chiyuv derabbanan. It's a recommended midas chasidus. Recommended midas chasidus. If it's bob b'cheshbon, if it's going to be too difficult, then you're not mechuyev. So now the Gemara is going to discuss where is the mocker of the Bisilo Shita and the Bishame Shita. So the Gemara said, Bishame say Shnei Zuchorim. You only fulfill the mitzvah period if you have two boys. Maitamai the Bishame, where is the Yafusa? Where did they come off with such an idea? So the answer is, Yafinim in Moshe. Dichsiv, Bnei Moshe, Gershom, the Eliezer. Chumash, it says, Moshe Rabbeinu got married. And he had two sons, and then Pirish Ben Uisha, on his own Pirish Ben Uisha. The Rabban Shalom didn't tell him. He was going to say on the next daf. Here, the third line from the top of Samach Beis Amidal. Shlosha Dvar Mosa Moshe Midaito. Moshe Rabbeinu made three decisions on his own. V'skima Daito the Das HaMakam. And the Rabban Shalom was masking with him. So one of the things was, he was Pirish Ben Uisha. Are you talking? How is it Pirish Ben Uisha on his own if he didn't fulfill the mitzvah period of Yehiyat? So apparently he felt that he did fulfill. He had two sons, Yoytze Piruvi. So that's what the Gemara says. My tamay the Beis Shammai. Where the Beis Shammai come from for such a nightfall? If you have two sons, Yoytze the mitzvah. And then he was Pirish Manish on his own. Where did Beis Hillel learn their mocker? So the Mishnah says, Zochan Akevi Bira'om. They learn that Mibriyasu Shalodim. When the Rabban Shalom created the world, in order that the world should function, you had to create Odom and Chava. So we should do the same to be able to populate the world. You have a son and a daughter. Frek Digmara Bishamai. Why did they learn that from Moshe Rabbeinu? Why don't they learn that like Beis Hillel? Why don't they agree with Beis Hillel? Lelfa Mibriyasu Shalodim. Why don't they learn that Yafusa? Learn out from the way the Rabban Shalom created the world, Adam and Chava. So that's the way it's supposed to perpetuate mankind, to have a son and a daughter. So Gemara says, no, by Brias Oilam, you have to create the Zoch and the Kev, otherwise they won't be able to have any children. So that's, you can't learn out, if you're going to learn out, if you have a Gezerah Shova, or if you have a Klala Prata Klala something, so you learn out, even Dover, Donim Epsha Mishayepsha. But if you're learning out Amam Matzino, learning out just like when the Baruch Shalom created the world, he created Adam and Chava, so to when we're supposed to perpetuate mankind, we should learn out. How can you say like that? That's a rule, Ein Donim Epsha Mishayepsha. A lot of times it's Donim Epsha Mishayepsha by Gzeirah Shova, or something like that. So Tosfos says in a few places, that's not a problem. But here there is no Gzeirah Shova, here it's just the Amam Matzino. The Amam Matzino can dig himself on the Svar, because the Baruch Shalom created the world. Of course, he had to create Adam and Chava. Frek Digmar Bisila Nami Lelfa Mi Moshe. Why don't you learn out from Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu only had two sons, and he called it quits. And for the Gemara, we don't learn out from Moshe Rabbeinu. Ami Loch Bisila will respond. Moshe Mi Dai to Hudi Ova. Moshe decided on his own. Adarabba. That's the Shaila. Adarabba. He did on his own. How did he make such a decision to be Pirish Menuisha on his own if he didn't fulfill the mitzvah yet? So that's the problem the Rishonim asked. Why shouldn't you learn? The Gemara said that's the reason why Basil do not learn from Moshe Rabbeinu. The Rabban Shalom didn't tell him to be Pirish Menuisha. He did it on his own. It's a difficult line in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Moshe, me died to go, but he did on his own, did Tanya. Shlosha Dor, Moshe, me died to be schema, died to the Das HaMakom. What are the three things? One is Pirish Menuisha. He separated from his wife. Vishibra Saluchas, he smashed the Luchas on his own. The Rabban Shalom didn't tell him. First, Yiyah Mechot, by Maimon HaSinai, the Rabban Shalom said, the Bnei Yisrael should make Achanas for 3 days, Atikshu Alisha, and then the Maimon HaSinai will be the next day. So Moshe Rabbeinu, when he told Obed Adin to Bnei Yisrael, he added on another day. They should have Achanas for an extra day, and the Shekhinah will only come to Hashuas HaShekhinah, and the Maimon HaSinai will take place on the next day. And the Rabban Shalom didn't make the Maimon HaSinai the day that he originally wanted. He waited till the extra day that Moshe Rabbeinu was Hosif Midaitam. So that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara explains each one of them. Pirish Menuisha, my Dorash, why did he decide to be Pirish Menuisha? So he said, Akav HaChaimer. The Jewish people are only going to have Maimon HaSinai once. And Maimon HaSinai was like a Nevuah B'Hokitz. Usually in the Nevi'im get a Nevuah B'Chalom. Moshe Rabbeinu had a Nevuah B'Hokitz. Pel, pel, dabra, ma'ara, v'la b'chiris. Like a person speaking to his friend. Kodam ha'medabra el-chaveira. So Moshe Rabbeinu was always like that. Moshe Rabbeinu was always Kedabri Yishol Reyehu. And B'nai Yisrael on the occasion of Maimon HaSinai. We're all on the Madrega like Moshe Rabbeinu. So if the Rabban Shalom said they have to be Pirish Menuisha to prepare for the Maimon HaSinai, so Moshe Rabbeinu is always like a b'china of Maimon HaSinai. He's always Pel Pel Dababal. He's always called them Hamdabel Chaber. So that's why he felt that he has to be Pirish Menuisha.
How do we know for sure that Moshe didn't have a daughter? There are a lot, in the Chumash, a lot of times, not everybody's mentioned. Like the 70 people who went to Mitzrayim, they're all men. Does it mean that almost all men?
I don't know. It's a very good question. I don't know. Igmar assumes like that. They both Bisham and Bisil, they both assume. You're asking, how do they know to assume? Yeah. Maybe he had more children. I don't know. Very good question. I don't know. So the Gemara explains, what was Moshe Rabbeinu's motivation for the three decisions that he made on his own? So the Gemara says, Pirish Manisha, my Dorish, how did he decide that he should not have marital relations with his wife? So he said, only Maimon HaSinai, that's all. Nonetheless, Amr Torah Tikshu Alisha, they had a they weren't allowed to be with their wives. The Maimon HaSinai, that level of nevuah has to be, shouldn't be a balkeri, shouldn't be a poletish mazer. So I, ani, shemiyuchad, lidaber, lidibor, b'chol shor v'shor, the Baruch Shalom can call me, give me a nevuah anytime. B'lakobal isman, b'yom, b'lal, anytime. Alachas kamer v'kamer, has to be pirish menerisha all the time. How do you know that his kima died to the dust? How do you know that Rabban Shalom agreed with him that it was the correct decision? Because after Maimon HaSinai is over, so it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, his kima died to the dust HaMakom Shenem. How do you know that Rabban Shalom is masking? Shenem, Lechem Olehem, Shuvah Lechem Liyoha Lechem. So the Gemara has a tradition, a lot of times, Beisod Zuishto. A lot of times it says, Beisod really means his wife, doesn't mean his home. And a lot of times, Ohel is also Ishto, just like Beisod is Ishto, Ohel is Ishto. So after Maimon HaSinai was over, so the Gemara says, when the Chachamim, the whole sugi in the first parak in Beitzah, when the Chachamim make a gzera de Rabbanon, even though it's obvious what the reason for the gzera was, you live in a generation where the whole reason for the gzera doesn't apply, the gzera doesn't fall apart by itself. You have to have a Bezdin, Dovish of the Minyan, Tzof and Yerach al-Atir. If a Bezdin voted, there was a Bezdin that voted to make a gzera de Rabbanon, and we know what the reason was, and you live a generation where the reason doesn't apply, the gzera doesn't fall apart by itself. You have to have Tzach min yanach alater, you have to have a bezin to declare that the gezer de Rabbanon no longer applies. They have to repeal it. So the Gemara says, this is even on a din, on a level of the Rabbanon. It's called the Tikkun Rabbanon, Kein Deraisa Tikkun. It's on a level of Deraisa. What do you mean on a level of Deraisa? Where do you have a din Deraisa that the Rabbanon Shalom gave a din for a reason, and then he had to repeal the din? So the only case the Gemara has is this. They were not allowed to be with their wives for a couple of days before Maimon HaSinai. They didn't want anybody to be a balkeri or a polet to Sheikh Vazera. After Maimon HaSinai was over, so Hasvar no Zenis, that the whole din atik shalisha doesn't apply. And yet the Rebbe Shalom had to be mad to them, because it was a dovish of a minyan, tzach min yarach ala hatira. So the Rebbe Shalom tells him, lechem olehem, he tells Moshe Rabbeinu, told Bnei Yisrael, they're allowed to go back to their wife. Shuvah lechem liyoha lechem. Olecha means like beisa zuishto, ohalo zuishto, Rashi says. Lo halechem linishechem, because beisa zuishto. But then the Rabban Shalom said, the Atoh, however you're not allowed to go back to your wife. Atopah modi modi, you have to stay here, you have to remain Pirish Menvishan. So the Moshe Rabbeinu decided on his own he's going to do that. Then the Rabban Shalom said explicitly to him, Atopah modi modi, he was masking with his decision. Then the Gemara said, the second thing was Shibre Saluchas. Moshe Rabbeinu decided on his own to smash the Luchas. Where did he come up with such an eyefall to smash the Luchas? My Dorash, how did he figure that out? So he made a Kavachim, Ma Korban Pesach, Shoecha Mishesh Meresh Shalashesh Mitzvahs. The Korban Pesach is only one of the Taryag Mitzvahs. Amr Torah Kol Benecha Lo Yerchal Boi. What does it mean, Kol Benecha? So Pasha B'Shat means Benecha, a non-Jew is not permitted to eat Korban Pesach, but also included Kol Benecha, a Jew who's Oyver Avod Zor. Mishan is Nakar Maisav Lo Aviv Shabashamayim. A Jew who's Oyver Avod Zor. Some Rishonim hold that a Jew who ever worshipped Avodah Zarah in his lifetime, even if he does tshuva later, is never, for the rest of his life, never allowed to eat Korban Pesach. The Meiri quotes such an opinion in Pesach. Most of the Rishonim Tosfos told the favorite not so. If he does tshuva, of course he can eat Korban Pesach. That's a question. There's a Mishnah in the end of Menachos that says, Kohanim Sheshim Shavu Beis Chonyo. There was a Beis Hamikdash in Egypt. A fellow by the name of Chonyo made his own Beis HaMikdash, and they were bringing Karbanos there. So the Gemara wasn't sure what was the historical background, what was going on there. Were they bringing Karbanos to Avodah Zarah, or was it just Shchut Echutz, they were bringing Karbanos to Shamayim, but it was Bizman Bayisheni. So there was an Issa of Shchut Echutz, you're not allowed to bring Karbanos in any other location outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Mishnah has, they had a lot of Kohanim who were participating in HaKrovos HaKabonos and Beis Chonyo. So the Mishnah says, Koin Sheshimish with Beis Chonyo, a Koin who's Makrev, who is doing Avod in Beis Chonyo, Lo Yisham Shabbat Migdash. For the rest of his life, you never allow him to bring Karbonos in the Beis HaMigdash. And then it says, the Mishnah assumes that Beis Chonyo was only Shchut Echutz. It wasn't Avod Zor. Then the Mishnah says, and it's a Kal V'chaimer, if a Koin once worshipped Avod Zor, for sure, we would never let him be makor karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash. So that's what this opinion in Emiri, that a Jew who ever worshipped Avodah Zarah, even if he does tshuva for the rest of his life, we wouldn't allow him to eat Korban Pesach, because Korban Pesach is like the Korban Geirus of Klal Yisrael. That's what the Or Sameach has, Rayas from Gemaras, that the din is that whenever a non-Jew converts to become Jewish, he has to have Kabbalah on mitzvahs, that's the ABC of Geirus. He has to commit himself to observe all the mitzvahs, and then he has to have a bris milah, then he has to go to the mikveh. And then, in addition to that, he's obligated to bring a korban oilo. If it's too much to buy a korban oilo from a beim, he can buy oilo soif, much less expensive than an oilo beim. Bizman HaZeh, the Gemara needs a pasuk to prove that you can be mekabel gerim, even though we don't have the ability. Even though they don't have the ability to bring karbanis, and any ger who will live so long to see Mary Bar HaMikdash, if they'll build a Beis HaMikdash tomorrow, all of those who converted in all the recent years who are still alive will be obligated to bring the Korban HaGeris. But Kozman is not Beis HaMikdash, so the Geris is valid even without bringing the Korban Pesach. So the Yosameach has his big chiddush that if the ger converted soon before Pesach, he had Kabbalas on mitzvahs, he committed himself to preserve all the 613 mitzvahs, and he had the bris milah, he went to the mikveh, and then, before he has a chance to bring a korban, he participates in the korban Pesach, he's yotzei, he doesn't have to bring a special oilah, doesn't have to bring another korban b'toras geiris. The korban Pesach was the korban geiris of all of Klal Yisrael. It's the national carbon of Geris for all of Klal Yisrael. So that's what the Pasuk says, called Benecha lo yochal boy. Not only a non-Jew is not permitted to eat Korban Pesach, a Jew who worshipped Avodah Zarah also not allowed to eat Korban Pesach. And that's the Machlokes HaRishonim. Doesn't mean Kozman didn't do tshuva, or even if he did do tshuva, he's not allowed to. So he says, if a Jew who worships Avodah Zarah is not allowed to participate in Korban Pesach, it's only one of the 630 mitzvahs. Kol HaTorah Kula. The Rebbeinu Shalom wants to give the Luchas to Bnei Yisrael that represents all the 613 mitzvahs. And the Jews are all worshipping Avodah Zarah, everybody except the Shevet Levi. So I'm Mumrim, they're all worshipping Avodah Zarah. Alachas Kama V'Kama. I can't give them the Luchas. How can I give them? You're not allowed to let them participate in one mitzvah of Korban Pesach. How can he give him that Seres HaDibus? So he smashed the Luchas. And how do you know that Rebbeinu Shlom was masking? Maybe he did wrong. Who says that it was the right thing? So the Gemara, Hiskima Daita Vedas HaMokim, it's a Losha Nekiyah. The Brisa keeps on saying, it's really the opposite. Losha Rabbeinu made a decision, Rebbeinu Shlom agreed with him. But it's a Losha Nekiyah, so it says, and he figured out what the Rebbeinu Shlom wanted. It means Rebbeinu Shlom was masking with his decision. His schema daita the das amokim, he guessed right each time of the three things, pirish men reisha. The Gemara says the loshem if of his schema daita the das amokim means Hakadosh Baruch Hu is masking with him. He said at the par madi madi. This one also, I didn't know his schema because at the end of it says dichsiv asher shibarta. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam tells Moshe Rabbeinu. So what is that lashon? Asher shibarta. So it sounds like asher yashikayach shibarta. Amar shlok shama laKadosh Baruch Hu yashikachacha shibarta. Baruch Shlom is masking with Moshe Rabbeinu on that decision that he shouldn't give the luchas to Bnei Yisrael because man they don't do tshuva. After they do tshuva, we can give them the luchas. After they did tshuva, so then Moshe Rabbeinu gave the luchas shniyas because they did tshuva. So the pashtus is like Rav HaRishonim that the one who worships Avodah Zarah is not like Korban Pesach until he does tshuva. Once he does tshuva, he may. It's going to be the same as the luchas. The pashtus is not like the Meiri. Yeah, the Meiri is bothered with the kasha if there really is such a din that if it's really true that one who worshipped Avodah Zarah can never ever for the rest of his life participate in a Korban Pesach, even if he does tshuva. But the Chumash says, v'chayogir itchem ger ledarasechem. If a non-Jew converts, he has to bring Korban Pesach. The non-Jew probably worshipped Avodah Zarah. So then he answers, ger shen is gar kot nishan ala, don't you, right? That's what he answers. That's a mechudish dike answer. The Pashta says that most of the Rishonim do not agree with that. There is a din that's going to be on this daf. Gershon is got cut in Shnada Dami, always appears in the Gemara with respect to Kroivim. Let's say a brother and a sister both convert. So in a Torah they're permitted to marry because they're no longer related to each other. Or let's say there's a father and a daughter. The father's very wealthy and the daughter converts. So the Mikra din derai, so the daughter doesn't get the Yerushim because she's no longer related to the father. Cut in Shnada Dami. Or where else the Gemara have, let's say two brothers convert. So they're kosher lohoi together. Two brothers are gerim. Usually two brothers are pasalaitis together. Here, they're kosher lohoi, even midrabbanan. They never made a chumah midrabbanan. The Gemara says in Yevamos that the Kabbalah said it's always going to be bifnei bezin. So bezin knows the din, so you don't have to make any gzera midrabbanan. So all the cases where the Gemara talks about gershon is got shalal dami, they're always talking about kroivim. People who started off as brother and sister, or father and daughter, or two brothers, once one of them converts, so one is Jewish, the other one is not Jewish, you can't have a kurva between a Jew and a non-Jew, so even after the second one converts, you can't become kurvim in midlife, you can't become a kurv. How can you become a brother and a sister at the age of 25? So the minute one converts, one is Jewish, one is not Jewish, no kurva between a Jew and a goy. So that's the din of Gershon Yizkar Kanshin Adam. But the Pashtus, it doesn't wipe off the whole past history. Let's say a non-Jew borrows $100,000 from the bank, then he converts. It's an Aguda bank, a Shas bank and everything. So, and the guy borrowed $100,000, then he converts. He said, cut and shenol the dummy. Honey, Yishachai, I don't have to pay back the money. There is no such thing. Gershon cut and shenol the dummy is only on Kurvis. He's not related to the Kroivim that he was related to before.
Can you be Mechalik, a Jew that's Ovid of Odizav is puzzled right then and there, but we are Mechadel Korbanos from a guy Ovid of Odizav, or calls him on that he's now Makav Hashem Shemayim. So if it wasn't puzzled then maybe it won't be puzzled later.
Yes, the Gemara has that in Chulin. The Gemara says, a Jew who's an Ovid of Odizav, even if he brings a Korban Lagavaya, you don't accept that. At least calls man is Ovid of Odizav. But a non-Jew is Ovid of Odizav, if he brings a carbon to the God of the Jewish people, we do accept it. The Jews, so Ebed Abed Azara, is not that Mumad Abed Azara dina ka akum. Mumad Abed Azara is worse than an akum. But Nochri, who's Ebed Abed Azara, there is no such din that you can't accept carbonus. You may accept. The Gemara says a din of min, a min, one who worships Abed Azara, is very involved in Abed Azara. The din of min only applies to Jews, doesn't apply to Goyim. The Gemara says, what do you mean? Why doesn't it apply to Goyim? So the Gemara goes on this din. That a goy who's an Ovid Avodah Zarah, very involved in Avodah Zarah, but if he brings a korban to the Beis Hamikdash Lashamayim, to the God of the Jewish people, we will accept it. But a Jew who's involved in Avodah Zarah, he can't accept any korban, even though he's giving the korban to the God of the Jewish people. And a chanami. Could be that's the answer to the Miri's Kash. He doesn't suggest that answer. So the Gemara quotes the three Abraisa. Starting from the third line, Shlosh Ador Masa Moshe Midat Viskima Dat to the Das Amokim. Yeah. And what was the third one that Moshe Rabbeinu decided on his own? Hosef Yamecha Midaita before Maimon HaSinai. So the Rabbanu Shalom told him, "My Dorosh, why did Moshe Rabbeinu decide to add another day? How did he figure that out? What was the Midrash Shatar Nidreshes Behem? Their first one, Pirish Menu Isha, he thought it's a Mamat Sina for Maimon HaSinai." And the Kavachaymer, the people are going to be on this high level of Nevuah, like Kedabir Ishariyehu, it's going to be a Nevuah B'Hakitz, like Moshe Rabbeinu was always a Nevuah B'Hakitz, and if they have to be Pirish Menu Isha to be Mekabel, their Nevuah B'Hakitz, so he's always going to have Nevuah B'Hakitz. His Nevuah was always like that. So it's a Mamatzino from the Din of Prisha Kodem Matan Torah, and the Kavachaymer, because it's going to be for the rest of his life, going to be Mochomer. The second one was also Kal v'chaymer, that if one mitzvah of Korban Pesach, if the Jew is a mumah l'avodah zarah, you don't allow him to participate in Korban Pesach. So the luchas represents all the taryag mitzvahs. So you can't give the luchas to Bnei Yisrael until they do tshuva. What was the midrash atar nidreshes over here? That Hosef Yamech Midaita, my dorash. How did he come up with such an answer? He was using the midrash atar nidreshes ben. The Gemara said, "Dichsev." The Baruch Shalom said to Moshe Rabbeinu, "V'kidashtam hayom amacha v'chipsu sin loisim." They should prepare 2 days before Maimon HaSinai, and the Maimon HaSinai would be on the third day. But Moshe Rabbeinu told them they should prepare for 3 days. Maimon HaSinai would be on the fourth day. Why did he add another day? The Rebbe Shalom told him, Kiddushim Hayoma, prepare them. The Kiddushim means to prepare them. Hayoma Macha, 2 days. So he darshan, it's a hekesh. If you have two dinim written in the same pasuk, two ideas written in the same pasuk, we assume there's a connection. So Hayoim Kimacha. Today, the hachana today should be the same as Lamacha. Ma Macha Leila Imo. In the Jewish calendar, we say Hayom Halach Achar Alayla. All the days begin. It's Shkia Ben Hashmashes Laila, and it goes to the Shabbos. It's from sundown to sundown, and Yontif is always like that. Hayom Halach Achar Alayla. So when the Rebbe Shalom told them to Kiddushim, prepare Bnei Israel Hayom Amacha, 2 days in a row. So Hayom should be the same as Machar. Ma mocha leilo imo, mocha is going to be, there's going to be a hachone the night before mocha means tonight, and tomorrow is going to be a whole day. Hayom has to be leilo imo. And hayom, the Baruch Shalom is telling him nevuah in the daytime. So they didn't start the hachone last night. So the hayom is going to be, tomorrow is going to be hayom, and mocha is going to be the next day. Because of the hekesh. If you have two dinim, two ideas, hayom and mocha, two ideas in the pasuk, one next to the other, we assume that there's a hekesh, there's a similarity, there's a connection between the two. So ma mocha leila ima, you have to have laila vayom, hayom halach achar laila. Af hayom has to be a laila do'edna, and last night, which is the day, the night before today, the laila do'edna nafak lay. Last night is already farfam, it's gone already. So therefore, shma minom, Moshe Rabbeinu made a drasha, based on a hektish, hayom and machar, hayom should be similar to machar. It has to be trei yom the bar mehid, another 2 days in addition to today. Today doesn't count. And then the Rebbe Shalom was masking. How do you know the Rebbe Shalom was masking? Because the Shechina didn't come till the fourth day. Shechina didn't come on the third day. The Rebbe Shalom originally said he's going to give the Maimon Hasina on the third day, and he didn't give till the fourth day. Because Moshe Rabbeinu made a drasha.
So all three of them. It was a drosha, not a datoi.
Right, all three were really not on his own. He was using the midrash hatorah and the drashas man. This was a hekesh. The other one was a mamatzino. Yeah, the others were mamatzino also. Midrash hatorah and the drashas man.
A hekesh had one
of the Yud Gimel Midos. The Yud Gimel Midos don't exhaust. There are more midos than Yud Gimel Midos. Yeah. Yeah. We don't exactly understand why the Rebbe Shmuel only lists these 13. There are more midas. There are more midas. Yeah. It's a question. In the end, the brachas, they have more midas that are in the Rebbe Shmuel. The end of the Masechta. What? Yeah. Everybody darshins hekesh. Yeah. There's so many dinim that are based on hekesh. So the Gemara says, "Iskim edaita the dasa machlo shavu shchina Shabbat until the fourth day. The fourth day, Maimon Hasin was on Shabbos. That's what the Gemara has a tradition in Masechet Shabbos and that Pesach. The Gemara says all the Tanaim agree that Maimon Hasin took place on Shabbos. That's what the Rishonim say. That if a couple is happily married, so they celebrate their wedding anniversary. So how happily married are you? So normal people celebrate every year." On the day of their anniversary, wedding anniversary. Other people are so happily married, they celebrate every month. They got married on the 10th or whatever, 10th of November, so every month they celebrate. And B'nai Yisrael, B'nai Shalom is such a happy Shidduch, we celebrate every week. Maimon Hasin was on Shabbos. Every Shabbos, we're celebrating our wedding anniversary. So that's what the Avodram says like this. Other Rishonim say like that also, that the tefillos that we recite are all connected with the marriage. On Leil Shabbos, you say Ata Kiddushta, that's the Kiddushin. And then we speak about Yismach Moshe, Maimon Hasina was Kof Aleim Har Kigig, that was like a chuppah. Then after the chuppah, you have the Yichud, Ata Echad V'Shimcha Echad. So the three tefillos that you have on Shabbos, Leil Shabbos from Ma'ariv and Shachris, Yismach Moshe, but Maimon Hasina and Ata Echad and Mincha, correspond to the three parts of the marriage that people have, Kiddushin and Nisuin, and the Yichud following the Nisuin. That's what it says in some of the Rishonim. So every Shabbos we are celebrating a wedding anniversary with the Rebbeinu Shel Olam.
Getting back to Gershon Iskaya, so Moshe and Aaron are Pesulim for Eidus, only in the Rabbanim?
the kosher even mid the rabbanon. The Gemara says two brothers who can write are kosher lohid even mid the rabbanon. They never made the gzeir because Kabbalah say this. Yeah, because Kabbalah say this is always in Bezin. Bezin is not going to make a mistake. Bezin knows the din of Gershon has got cut and shenali done. You don't allow a brother and sister converted, so you don't allow them to marry midirabbanim. In our Torah, they're permitted to marry midirabbanim. You don't allow them to marry because if they'll marry, the Jews will see a brother married a sister and they'll think it's permissible. The rabbis are permitting a brother to marry a sister. But over here, no michshel will come out because Kabbalah Seder always has to go to Bezin. Bezin knows that Kikotin Shinola Domi, so the two brothers are kosher later. So Gemara earlier around Chavad Aleh or something.
So when they were Bochel Mishpachot Seyam, that was after Mamun Har Sinai, after Gerus. So were they Bochel?
Right, the Gurariye is bothered with that kasha. The Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos, the first half of Rabbi Lezer and the Mila, that any mitzvah that the Jewish people accepted, the simcha, so we still mekatmim the simcha. So the mitzvah of Mila was given to Avraham Avinu, he was excited, and l'dur y'dur is when we have a bris, we always have a celebration, everybody's happy. And when the dinam of Arayas, the prohibited marriages, was given, everybody was belly aching, they were all crying, that we can't marry the relatives that we were allowed to marry before. So the Gemara says, "Lek ksubed the rabbin by Tigra." Every time there's a chasana, there's always some kind of machlokes about something. That's a punishment because the Jews didn't accept the prohibitions of Gilui Arayos b'Simcha. So the punishment is that we always suffer. So the Gerari asked the kasha, "Why the berchan of mishpachos? Gershon is got cut mishanala dam. What's the problem?" So he says, "You see that Gershon is got cut mishanala dam only applies on all future gerus, but the initial gerus of Maimon HaSinai." You don't say Kikot and Shinala Dami. It's awesome in a Torah to marry the brother and sister. Why not? Why should it be? Why don't you say Kikot and Shinala Dami? So the Gerari gives a strange explanation that Achrenim break the head. Gerari is by the Maral Miprag. It's his commentary on Pirush Rashi El HaTorah. Right. So he says that whenever the Geris, since the Geris at Hasina was Kaf Alem Har Kigigas, it was the Geris Bal Korcham. So the rule of Katan Shinola doesn't apply. Why not? Well, why should it make a difference whether it's a Geris Balkoch, Geris Midaita? So I ran and break their heads to explain. Others say differently, a different Hezbo why. The way Rav Soloveitchik explained, Gershon is got Katan Shinola Domi, where do they learn it? The Chasam Sefer writes in one place in his Chidushim on Avodah Zarah, where did the Tanaim come up with such a wild idea, Katan Shinola Domi, that the brother and the sister are allowed to marry? What's the mocker? So Rav Soloveitchik thought the mocker is, the Gemara has a pasuk that there's no tefisas kedushin between a goy and a Jew. A pasuk. So why is there no tefisas kedushin? So there's a Tosfos in Gittin where Tosfos shows from the Gemara. The Gemara makes an assumption that whenever there's no tefisas kedushin, that's because there can't be a kurva. So there's no tefisas kedushin between a nochri and a Yisrael because there can't be a kurva between a nochri and a Yisrael. So over here, Gershon is got kashan all the time because. Let's say a brother and a sister. So one of them converts today. The next one converts 5 years later. Well, when the first one converts, so one is Jewish, one is not Jewish. So they can't be related anymore. Kozman, one is Jewish, one is not Jewish. There can't be any kurva. Then when the second one converts 5 years later, you can't become brother and a sister at the age of 25. You have to be born as brother and a sister. If it would be possible for the brother and the sister to be converted at the exact same split second, then you wouldn't say Kikot and Shinola Dami. So apparently at Maimon HaSinai, there was a Hirosh, so usually the din is that every ger who converts has to bring his own carbon geris. Maimon HaSinai was one national geris for the whole Klal Yisrael. They only brought one set of karbonas for everybody. And then the Parshas Kisisa, it says, Moshe Rabbeinu brought karbonas, and they have everybody. You didn't require each and every person should bring a carbon. So since it was one big national geris on all of Klal Yisrael, so apparently the Geris was Chal in the same split second. So there was no moment of time that one person was a Jew, one person was a Goy. Everything was Chal b'Masacha. So that's why the Shinola Dami Klal didn't apply there. It's based on the assumption that when one converts before the other, so one is Jewish and one is an Ocher. There can't be a kurva between a Jew and an Ocher. The din ain't tvisis, ain't kiddushin tovsin. It's not a din in kiddushin. It's a din in kurva. You can't have any kurva. You can't have any yuchsin between a Yisrael and a Nochri. So even if the second one converts later, you can become brother and sister in midlife. You have to be born brother and sister. Yeah, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, it's not over here, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that this mitzvah of Pirei Rebbe changed. The mitzvah was given Kodem Matan Torah to Adam Rishon and to Noach, and it was required of all everybody in the world how to have children. It's a mitzvah that was chal for all the Ummas Oilam. But on the occasion of Mamre Hasina, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the mitzvah again. The Gemara calls it a mitzvah Shenemra Benishnas. Mitzvah Shenemra Kodem Matan Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Adam Rishon and Noach Pru Revu. Then it was Nishnas, it repeated it, Mamre Hasina. Where was it repeated? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Shuv Alechem, go tell Bnei Yisrael, Shuv Alechem, Yo Alechem. They should go back to their wives and have children. So a nemra, a mitzvah that was nemra v'nishnas, it was given kodem matan Torah, repeated at matan Torah. After matan Torah, the mitzvah only applies to Bnei Yisrael, no longer applies to the Ummah Yisrael. So that's the Gemara says v'anu ein lanu. This is the only one and only mitzvah that the rule applies is Pirei Rebbe. So it seems to indicate that the nature of the mitzvah changed, that the mitzvah kodem matan Torah, the nature of the mitzvah was Pruvu milas ha'aretz v'chibshua, to populate the world. When it came, Mamon Hasina Baruch Shem decided there are enough people in the world, we don't have to populate the world anymore. The world now is overpopulated. So Hasina said, we have enough people, we don't need more. But now the nature of the mitzvah changed, now it only applies to Bnei Yisrael. Nature of the mitzvah, if the Matan Torah is, that we have an obligation to transmit Yiddishkeit to the next generation. So, L'chatchila, you should transmit Yiddishkeit to your own children. Purvu, you should give Torah to your own children. And if the Gemara has Ben Azai, the Gemara says Ben Azai did not fulfill Pirei Rebbe. The Gemara has is not too sure what the story was. By the time the Gemara was written, they had already forgotten the whole story. Either he got married, and the next morning he decided marriage is not for him. He married Rabbi Akiva's daughter, then he got divorced. And the other version is he never got married, period. So the Rambam quotes the din, if a person is crazy about learning, and he just says that marriage is not for him, he's not becoming the mitzvah of Pirei Rebbe. So the Rambam quotes the Gemara, ain't biyodo ovam. He's not in violation of an aver. Why not? What if a person is crazy about learning? He doesn't want to daven shacharit v'mincha, doesn't want to like film, doesn't want to have a seder, doesn't want to light neiros Chanukah, just crazy about learning. There are people like that, crazy about learning, doesn't want to do any mitzvah. So yesh biyodo ovam. He's supposed to be mopsik from his learning to do the mitzvah. So why is over here? By Pirei Rebbe, ain't biyodo ovam. So absolutely, he taught because Ben Azai was teaching Torah to the public. He was a Rebbe. He was a Malabit Torah Lama Yisrael. So and the Gemara says, Kalamalamit Torah Ben Chaveru, Malal Kasav Kilu Yeloda. If a person teaches Torah to someone else's child, it's considered in a certain sense as if he gave birth. What do you mean? So the Chafetz Chaim and other Paschim say, you look on the first page of Ebenezer, the Achrenim write it, that one who doesn't have his own children should adopt and give over Torah values to those children. And that's a partial kima mitzvah of Pirei Rebbe. Or the pasuk says, Ko amar Hashem lasarisim asher yishmeru shabtzai, b'churub asher machazikim b'vrisi. So the Chafetz Chaim says, what does it mean? One who is a saris, he can't have his own children, he should support the yeshiva. Machazikim b'vrisi, he should support limin haTorah. So the mitzvah b'shleim musa Pirei Rebbe, after Matan Torah. Kodem Matan Torah, the nature of the mitzvah was milus ha'aretz, to populate the world. By the time he came Matan Torah, the Ribono Shel Olam decided there's enough people in the world. He no longer needs populating the world. But he requires of us the mitzvah b'shleim musa, we should have our own biological children, and we should transmit Torah values to them. And second best, as an incomplete kiyum mitzvah is to transmit Torah to other people, even if they're not our children. So if one adopts children and he sends them to yeshiva, or a person supports the yeshiva, that's a partial kiyum mitzvah. So that's what the Rambam quotes this Gemara by Ben Azai. If he's crazy about learning and he's in fulfillment of the mitzvah, shalom bishle musa as it is, because he's a Tana, he's teaching Torah in public. So to tell him that he should be mekayim the mitzvah bishle musa by getting married and having his own children, it's going to stare in his learning. So ain't be other of it, because sof kol sof he is being mekayim the mitzvah shalom bishle musa. Cannot mechuyev to make yourself crazy in order to be mekayim the mitzvah more bishle musa. That's it. We'll have to see more in the Gemara about that. The Gemara is going to have on this daf. There's a machlekes yubiechon v'shlokish. Here on the last narrow line, before you get to the wide lines on Samach Beis and Aleph, So the Gemara has a machlekes of it. Hoyelamani biyosa obikacham. A nochri was married and had children, and then he converts. So is he had a son and a daughter? Is he yotze piriribi with the children that he had from before? So Rish Lakish says no. I would have said like Rish Lakish says no. Gershon is got kikot nishanala dami. He says on the third white line. The children are not related to him anymore. The father converted, so they're not his children, not Pidin. And we pass like Rabbi Yechon. We'll have to figure out what does Rabbi Yechon do with the argument of Kot and Shinol Adam. We'll have to figure it out. The Biskarov has it. You have time. Biskarov and Pcharis on Dapnam Zion explains a little bit why. So the Rambam, when he quotes the din of Rabbi Yechonon, Harizekiyim Piriribya, the Gersh and his Gar is Yotze Piriribya, but till children, Shoyelob and Achor Yusso. So the Rambam writes, "Is Gaya Huvahim, the father converted and the children also converted." What does that mean? The children converted. So the Magen Mishnah says, "Adava Poshut, you can't be Yetzer Piriribya with children on Achrim. The whole idea of Piriribya is to transmit Torah values to your to Lachatchila the mitzvah B'Shalimus to transmit Torah values to your children, and then if it's not your children, second best is to transmit Torah values to the next generation." To adopt other people's children and send them to yeshiva. But to support yeshivas, okay. But you can't be Yetzer Piriribya with non-Jewish children. So that's Lacha Matan Torah. That's what the Mishnah understands. Lacha Matan Torah, the whole nature of the mitzvah changed. The mitzvah is to transmit Torah values to the next generation of Jewish people. So if the children didn't convert, the children remain Nochem, just the father converted. So the Mishnah learns as a Dabba Poshut in the Ramam that you're not Yetzer Piriribya, the mitzvah. The Beis Shmuel and Ebenezer, when this is quoted in Shulchan, the Beis Shmuel quotes the Maharal Prague, who understood the Rambam differently. He understood the Rambam as saying a Chiddush, even though the father converted, and even though the children converted. So there's a double kikot in Shinol Adami. The father converts, so he moves away from the children. The children convert, they move, they're twice removed from each other. Each one is still yet, even in such a case, yet, it's Kavu Chaimer, if only the father converted, and the children remain Nachrim. So for sure, you yotze the mitzvah piriribya. So it's a totally different kavanah in the Rambam, that even if the children remain nochrim, and he's not transmitting Torah values to the children at all. But that's a question, what the Rambam meant. The Magen Mishnah understands the Rambam, that you only yotze with children who are Jewish. Children are not Jewish, then you're not yotze the mitzvah. That changed. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, in the Sugya B'nei Noach. The Sugya B'nei Noach starts around Nun Ches, Noach. In Sanhedrin, Nun Ches, Nun Tes, Samach, you have a few daf in Gemara. The Gemara talks about all the dinim of Bnei Noach. So the Gemara says, "Kol mitzvah shenemra v'nishnas." The mitzvah piriribya was nemra kodem matan Torah v'nishnas. Said Maimon HaSinai, because the Rabban Shalom said, "Shuva lechem li'olechem." Everybody should go back to their wives. It means that they should fulfill piriribya. So mitzvah was nemra v'nishnas, and the only example that we have is piriribya in lano alachas. This the one min. So kodem matan Torah applied to all the Yom Sorevim. And after Matan Torah, it only applied to the Jewish people. And the Pashtus is, if it only applies to the Jewish people, it means the whole nature of the mitzvah changed. The Pashtus is like that. Okay, Lineta, next week we'll have to discuss in Yonei Chanukah. I apologize again, I forgot all about it. Midrashim speak about sort of the competition between Yosef and Yehuda, who's going to be the leader of the brothers. That Yosef never sinned. He had the opportunity to sin with Eishes Potiphar. And he controlled himself and he ran away. He didn't sin. As opposed to Yehuda, Yehuda went to the Kedeshah. And then later on, he was Chosid Tshuva. So they were vying with each other. That's how the Midrash presents it, as if the two were vying with each other. Who's going to be the leader of the Jewish people? In the end, it turned out that Yehuda is the leader of the Jewish people. Why is that so? Le-yosef. That's the broch of Le-yosef Shevet Yehuda, Mechaykik Mbein Raglav. Yankov Avinu says that the Malchus will always be in Shevet Yehuda. Why is that so? So it's interesting. Sometimes when you have a din Torah by businessmen, so someone does crooked practices. So if you're going to have three rabbanim who learn in the yeshiva all the time, and they're going to listen to the story, they're going to throw the book at this guy. What do you mean? he did this, he did that, Gazlan. Maybe it's smarter to have three religious businessmen who learned Daf Yomi, even who don't learn Daf Yomi, to adjudicate the case. They'll be more reasonable. They know that a lot of people in business cut corners and they do these kind of things, so they won't be so strict with the guy. The leader of the Klal Yisrael has to be a person. It's better he should be a Baal Tshuva, like Yehuda, than he should be a tzaddik who never sinned at all. If the leader is going to be a tzaddik, he'll always say, how can I accept anything from this guy? Wants to donate money to the shul, wants to support the yeshiva. Now he's a Baal Tshuva. How can I accept money from him? He's a Baal Averi, he's a Baal Tshuva. How can he accept? And the person who'll be like a Yehuda, he went through this. He had an affair with the Zayna, and then he was Chayse B'tshuva later on. So he'll be a little more reasonable in his Hanhoga of the Klal Yisrael. The Gemara says he should only be Memana, Parnas ala Tzibur, if he has a Kupish al Trotzim Me'achurov, if he has skeletons in his closet. If he has skeletons in the closet, so he knows that not everybody is such a big miyuchas, not everybody is such a big tzaddik. He'll be a more reasonable manik. If he's going to be a big tzaddik, maybe he won't be the right leader. You have to be more reasonable. The Gemara presents it for a different reason. The Gemara says, if he has a skeleton in the closet, so his yichas won't go to his head. He won't be arrogant. He'll know that his yichas is not so gevaldik, so he'll be more reasonable with the tzibah. But the same thing, if he himself is a Baal Tshuva, he'd be a more reasonable amanig of the tzibah, as opposed to Yosef. Yosef was a tzaddik, he never sinned. So that's, he's not the right fellow to be the manig of Klal Yisrael. Okay, we'll leave that next week while I'm discussing Chanukah.
So we have a
tikkun,
everybody's invited to partake.
Welcome back.
Thank you very much.
So I remember, it's probably a few years ago, Tana's on the day, Rav gave a shiur once to have to have shkama. You see the social hall, you probably still do that.
Yes.
So I got up to speak, and a guy said, before you start, I have a question. I forgot what question. On that topic, I have such a question. So the Rav said at that point, the topic gave a shiur. Yeah. On that topic. So I was thinking of that now.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. Wow.
How
did that happen? Is it possible I forgot to put it on?
So.